starting Tuesday, August 4th, government is taking 2 cedis off every liter of diesel to cushion Ghanaians from rising fuel costs, but the Ghana Road Transport Union has rejected it outright, saying the reduction is too little, too late, and fares will go up anyway.
Diesel is approaching 20 cedis a liter. Then petrol is also approaching, 16 cedis a liter. So if government is, taking 2 cedis from the 19 to 20, then it means it is coming back to where it was.
Tonight, the showdown over transport fare, the numbers behind it, and what it means for your pocket. All here on Top Story. When we return from the break, we'll be speaking to a co-chair of the MPP Energy Committee, a senior research and policy analyst at IES. We'll also be speaking to the GPRTU and the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies. After this break, don't go anywhere. This is Top Story, brought to you by Telecel Connect and Energy's Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep, Shield Pension Trust into the future with you. My name is Kenneth Jesse. Tonight, in a last-ditch effort to stop transport fare hikes, government is absorbing 2 cedis on diesel to cushion Ghanaians from rising fuel costs for 1 month. But the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRTU, says the move by government won't change anything as transport operators push ahead with an increase in fares. President Mahama today directed the MPA to absorb the 2 cedis on diesel with no announced intervention in the price of petrol. The implementation starts tomorrow and is meant to cushion Ghanaians, especially commercial drivers and businesses hit by rising fuel costs. Here's the Director of Economic Regulation and Planning at the MPA, Abbas Tasunti.
Diesel, particularly because the war that is ongoing is affecting diesel more than any other product. If you look at this window that we've gone into, the world market prices for diesel shot up by almost 25%. The other products didn't jump by that much. And so the concern has been to look at diesel. And diesel also typically is used by the industry commercially, commercial drivers, the industries and all that. And so sometimes the attention is on diesel. But this, I think, is because of the level of increase of the war and the price of diesel, which has shot up by almost 25%. Petrol, for example, shot up by about 12%. Mm-hmm. The LPG by about 12%. And so this intervention immediately is to address the high rise of in the price of diesel. So I think I heard your colleague compare the exchange rates to the price of the fuel. It is not a like-for-like thing. Coincidentally, there have been times when the price of the fuel and the exchange rates have been similar.
Okay.
But there are first several things that go into the price of petroleum products. The world market is one, the exchange rate is another one. There are other margins and taxes in the levy in the price board. And all of this together determine the price of fuel. And what determines the exchange rate is completely different from what determines the price of fuel. So we cannot do that like-for-like comparison. So these are statutory margins. So and let me state that these are not margins of the oil marketing companies as well. So when I mentioned statutory margins, we are looking at the likes of the bus margin, the primary distribution margin, the fuel market margin, and the UPF, the Unified Petroleum Price Fund.
We'll be hearing from the GPRT, who says they will increase prices anyway. But now let's look at the data. And joining me in studio right now is a researcher with Joy News Research, Jason Day, who has been tracking fuel consumption across the country. Jason, what does the data tell us about fuel consumption in Ghana?
Well, according to the data, Ken, from the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, petrol consumption across the country increased by 21%, rising from 1.23 billion litres in the first half of 2024 to 1.5 billion litres in the first half of 2025. And for diesel, it also went up by 20%, from 1.1 billion litres to 1.3 billion litres over the same period. So we see that as of the half year 2025, the consumption of petrol is more than the consumption of diesel. And this is important when you look at the government's 2 cedi reduction in the price of diesel to help reduce transport costs, because the immediate beneficiaries are likely to be commercial drivers that run on diesel, particularly trotters or even some delivery trucks and some taxis. But there's also another category of commercial transport operators who also use petrol-powered vehicles and other hailing services. So while the reduction in diesel prices could help ease transport costs for some commuters, it is not directly benefiting those petrol-powered commercial vehicles. And given the petrol accounts for the given that petrol accounts for the larger share of petrol or fuel consumption, it raises the question of whether the policy will have a broad enough impact on transportation costs across the country.
Thank you very much, Jason. We'll also hit the streets of Accra to engage drivers and commuters on government's move. Listen to them briefly.
Because this is an Ankasana, Ukraine. And my, you're watching, papa. Whatever, no. I'm saying, this is also too much. As I said, you're too firm. Also, you're trusting, you're fair, no, and back.
We are really suffering as drivers. The diesel vehicles we use have become very expensive to run. I used to fill my car with 500 Ghana cedis, but now it costs me about 1,000 Ghana cedis. This 2 cedi reduction in the price of diesel is not enough to make any real difference. Whenever diesel prices go up, transport fares should also be adjusted.
Dr. Riverson Opon is the CEO of the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies. Derek Emmanuel Hacheh is the Senior Research and Policy Analyst with the Institute for Energy Securities. Kojo Nsafuapoku is the co-chair of MPP's Energy Committee. And Samuel Amua is the Deputy PRO for the Ghana Private Road Transport Union. Grateful for your time this evening, gentlemen. Let me begin with you, Dr. Riverson Opon. These are the concerns on the streets of Accra and beyond. But as a stakeholder, are you concerned that this will not reflect in the pockets at the pumps as well, as people are suggesting?
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening to you and your listeners. I listened to the interview. As consumers, just like myself and you, we'd always want to have a very, very affordable fuel to be able to purchase and use on our daily operations. One may even ask why the government did not consider petrol and only diesel. I don't speak for the government, probably because the government thinks that diesel is used by the commercial drivers and then industry. And I've heard the energy minister say that before. We all could have been happy to see petrol as well being altered. As an industry, we understand that this is the challenge we face. I believe that every BIDEC, every trader, every OMC knows for sure that we operate within a very volatile institution or sector. Last week, when I heard that the transporters wanted to increase prices, I said, hey, look, this is not the situation. And as we speak today, it's true. Crude oil is back to the 80s, moved from the 100 to 80s within a week. Understand what I mean? So We are not in normal times as an industry, and it's a global effect. It's not only Africa or even Ghana per se. Everywhere we are discussing it on the global platforms, global networks. We are discussing it at upstream level, midstream level, and downstream level. Indeed, we will not get it easy when prices are volatile. The industry is suffering. The BDCs are crying. Traders are not happy. And therefore, we as consumers would not necessarily be laughing at the moment. The 2 cedis waiver that has come is indeed here to cushion consumers and operators within the sector. And I believe that the necessary geopolitical effects will be considered at a higher level above everybody talking on this platform.
You say that you are not the government, so you can't tell why the subsidies did not extend to petrol and even LPG. But do you think it should have been so? And if it should have, what would have been the effect?
Yeah, fuel runs the economy. We all know that, like you heard the drivers complain, once fuel prices are up, our transport prices go up. Virtually everything that depends on transportation also go up, including food and services, right? So it's not every commercial vehicle that runs on diesel. But like I said, I'm just guessing. This news came, just as a letter to us as an industry. And we all heard at the same time, you also heard it. And there is no inclusivity here. That's what the government has decided. Obviously, if petrol was also altered, it would have, supported those who use petrol, whether for private men like you and I, or even commercial guys who are using petrol as well, and indeed will affect the economy, in the pockets of people. Nonetheless, this is what we have, and we as a chamber now, we are working with MPA and our members to effect the prices immediately. We've seen most of our members changing prices already from 6 o'clock, and from tomorrow, we want to see that every member adhere to the decrease of 2 cedis so that the consumer will benefit from it.
Dr. Riverson Opon, don't go yet. I still have Derek Emmanuel Zache with the IES. He's the Senior Research and Policy Analyst with the Institute for Energy Security. Derek, grateful for your time this evening. Government has yet again intervened in the petroleum sector. But the question on the lips of many is, for how long will that continue?
All right, thanks for the opportunity, and then good evening once again. So that is good news for all Ghanaians because IES earlier this morning also retreated or brought out a press release, and then the suggestion was that government should act immediately to be able to cushion the consumer. So having this response is a good news for all Ghanaians, and then we, the stakeholders in the energy sector, because one way or the other, we are all affected, whether for commercial, whether for private business or other things, we are all affected. So it is good news. We would have also thought that it would be extended to cover the petroleum, petrol consumers. That would have been another good news for us. But be as it may, what we have right now is a measure that the government has implemented, and in a nutshell, it's to cushion consumers. If you want to look at the quantum of money that the government is going to spend for this period, just look at what was spent, or let me say what the government spent when the war started. That was around February thereabout. It's been a huge amount of money running into millions of cedis. And so, as Oliver Twist, you always ask for more. How long this can be sustained is that for now, this is just something that is volatile. Nobody can guarantee whether it will last for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, or and the others. And what we know is that these are not long-term measures. What is also happening, we always know that there will be a roundtable discussion where probably there can be a ceasefire, and then price will restore or come back to prior to the when the war started. And so we hope that as long as the government could find money, in the nutshell, this helps to keep down inflationary pressures. Because as you can hear, the transport unions are agitating for increase in prices. When they increase their prices, there is no way that within the next 2 weeks or the second pricing window for August, where prices are likely to change or not to change, driver unions will not be willing to reduce price transport fares and co. And so you see that this becomes a long-term measure, and to build up to the inflationary pressures that we consumers will experience, that will definitely erode our purchasing power. And so in the nutshell, what we can say is that it's good for consumers assistance now. For the long-term measure of it, what the government can do, we always talk about it. The cedi for the past weeks has also been depreciating, not good for Ghanaians, because other than that, we would have been having more reduction at the various pumps, but the cedi has also been depreciating. And so the long-term measure that the government has to look for more money to be able to cushion consumers. The taxes and margins that have been suspended is for consumers' respite. And I'm sure the government knows the holistic view when it comes to price adjustments of petrol. And so what we have today is good for all Ghanaians.
Derek, don't go yet. Kojo Puku, as I mentioned earlier, is the co-chair of the NPP Energy Committee. Kojo, welcome to the program. You've long advocated for a long-term intervention by government in our petroleum sector. We are getting what is appearing to be a short-term fix. Do you think it's a good one, the intervention by government? You would have to unmute your microphone, Kojo, so we can hear you.
We are all consumers. I hope you can hear me
loud and clear.
Good evening to your listeners. We are all consumers. So when there is a respite or there is an intervention by government of 2 cedis at the fall, we all welcome it. But as Oliver Twist, we always want more. Look, we are in this position where fuel price is now becoming topical because of the politics the NDC did with it. You know, some of us who are industry people have always told politicians to not do politics with the fuel pricing because you don't control it. We've heard countless times and commentaries that were run by the NDC communicators and leading members when fuel prices were going up some time past. And people will go as far as saying that, oh, but the bombs are not raining in Ghana. Why are the prices going up in Ghana? It's the bad economy. It is the government that is not having money. Today, we are told by the Honorable Finance Minister that the economy is doing very well. The government has a lot of money. So why is the prices still going up? It tells you that whether fuel price will go up, it's not the control of the government. Now, there is a knee-jerk approach to go and reduce 2 cedis from diesel. In the last time this was done in May and June, the loss, the debt buildup at the NPA was over 800 million Ghana cedis. Now, now that we're going to do it again for 1 month, we're probably going to have another maybe 500 to 600 million Ghana cedis hole that's going to be plugged at the NPA. Who pays for it? It's me and you. So, look, we are really being given something now, which later on we are going to pay for. But the point we all wanted was that we live in this country when we were told that there is a price reduction and we can add 1 cedi to the fuel and nobody will notice. Today, Ghanaians are saying that, look, we notice that there is an increase. So please remove that 1 cedi that you came to add. Atoforsen is pretending he doesn't even hear the cry of the Ghanaian. Instead, it is the MPA, the margins and the levies, which help with transportation of fuel, which helps with fuel security, which help with to prevent adulteration. The service providers that are making sure that we have reliable delivery of fuel are the ones that are now being asked to take a hit. The levies and the margins are being reduced. The Ministry of Finance doesn't want to touch the taxes that they have brought. To even make it worse, they've now done an increase in heavy fuel oil, which is used by primarily industries. That one has gone up by over 700%. And somebody tells us that the economy is doing well. Meanwhile, every indication is that this is an economy that is struggling. And every turn, they are looking for more money. So look, it's good news that the president have asked that two cedis be reduced on diesel.
Right.
But look, let's be honest with ourselves. This is not an economy that's doing well.
Right. Kwejo Dongoye at Richmond Roxon is the spokesperson and head of communication at the Energy Ministry. He's also joining the conversation right now. Richmond, grateful for your time this evening. There's been plaudits from all sections that this is a good one, the removal of 2 cedis levy on diesel. But the concern is that why did that not extend to petrol and LPG?
Good evening to you. Let me say good evening to Kojo Poku. And then I believe it's Derek who is on the line from IES.
Yes.
And then thank you for the opportunity. I'm surprised that Kojo will try to be political about this issue, considering the track record of the New Patriotic Party. We've seen both administrations suffer external shocks. And then within the same period, we've seen the interventions that both administrations did. We didn't see this under the previous administration. Prices went as high as 23 Ghana cedis. With all the calls for interventions, nothing happened at the time. So I don't expect him to be political about this. At the time, people called the government to intervene, but nothing was done. What has been done this time, as we did in April, May, is that, of course, if you have a government that has managed fuel prices from a high of about 16, 17 Ghana cedis upon assumption of office to at a point below 10 Ghana cedis, and then you have external shocks or external factors because of the geopolitics push the price up high, definitely you would want to give consumers some respite. That's what His Excellency has done. And so for the two others on the international market, that's price of finished product and the price of crude. Obviously, we do not have any control. But when it comes to the exchange rates, that is what we manage here to be able to support the people of Ghana. Can you imagine if prices or if the exchange rate was around 17 Ghana cedis as this government inherited powers compared to what we are seeing today? And so one, the economy is doing well. It is false if the economy is not doing well. The indicators are there for all to see. Dr. Balmier said that when in doubt, check the exchange rate. And the exchange rate is evidence for all of us to see. For the finished products, like I mentioned, we have less control. The government is intervening with the margins and levies to be able to give us some respite. On why government intervened on diesel and not petrol, you recall that the first intervention, government intervened by 2 cedis on a price on a liter of diesel and then 0.36 on petrol. Of course, you look at the indicators at every material point in time, and then the factors which drives your industry economy to take such decisions. As at this morning, diesel was doing around 18, 19 Ghana cedis. Diesel is what most industries use. It's used primarily by the public transport system. And so if you have the price go up, you're not careful, it will have a ripple effect on all other factors, goods and services, cost of doing business as well. And so that's why government intervened on diesel to bring the price down. We've seen Star Oil price now, after that intervention, we are looking at around 16.9 as compared to what we had seen earlier, which was around 19 Ghana cedis. And so in all, I believe it's a good intervention. Like you said,
okay.
The people of Ghana have applauded government for this intervention. And I'm sure that definitely will be significant savings. You're looking at 9 Ghana cedis on a gallon. That's significant. If you are buying 10 gallons in a day, that's 90 Ghana cedis. You can imagine how much you would save within the window we are looking at.
Mm. And how much is that going to cost government, that 1 month period?
If the initial wonder was done around April with anything to go by, it cost around over 500 million because you just have to look at the number of liters you consume every month, and then you do a simple mathematics to be able to get the result. And then so around April, May, that's how much the suspension of these levies and margins cost government.
500 million Ghana cedis, you say?
Over 500 million for the two pricing windows, yes.
Richmond, I want you to hold on for me and listen to the concerns of the GPRTU. They say that the math is not working. We've been hearing from the deputy PRO, Samuel Amwa, who says that the 2 Ghana cedi per litre removal will not be enough for commercial operators.
Government has taken 2 cedis, or government is about to take 2 cedis from the diesel price. I think it's a very good step for the government to take. But the whole thing is, you see, when we had a meeting with the transport ministry that we want to increase the transport fares by 30%, we were asked to hold on because, you know, the problem that government is going to work on, you know, the fuel price and that the next price will come down and all that. By then, the diesel was around 16 to 17, then petrol was around 14 to 15. We were expecting a reduction. But now, during this price window, diesel is approaching 20 cedis a liter. Then petrol is also approaching, 16 cedis a liter. So if government is, you know, taking 2 cedis from the 19 to 20, then it means it is coming back to where it was. And that will not have any significant, you know, effect on us. Although, what will happen is, if we have to increase the fares, maybe the percentage that we're proposing is something that made me consider bringing it down.
That's Samuel Amwa. He is the deputy PRO for the GPRTU. He's also on the line. I'll be engaging him pretty shortly. But Richmond, you've been listening to the GPRTU, because when you look at the letter that government released to this effect, one of the reasons for the removal of the 2 Ghana cedis was to cushion consumers and commercial drivers as well. But they are insisting, despite that, they are still going to go ahead to increase fares.
My brother, these are not normal times, and I share the concerns of the drivers, I share the concerns of consumers, because if in the last few months you've seen the steep rise of prices as a result of this geopolitics, and then you will have to spend extra money to buy fuel, obviously everyone will complain, but these are not normal times. The government has has intervened. It may not be enough, as you mentioned. Some have mentioned that it is enough intervention, but definitely it is going to go a long way to cushion consumers. So let's observe, and then let's see what the international market says. We are hopeful that we may see positive signs. Indeed, in the last few weeks, we had seen prices come down in international markets as a result of the ceasefire. Unfortunately, it started again, and then it pushed up bottom. And so let's observe, and then let's all sacrifice. These are, like I mentioned, these are not normal times. It's difficult for all consumers because of what the effect has been on us. But I'm sure that just as we had seen prices go down as a result, at a point to below 10 Ghana cedis, we are hopeful that we'll get to that level when normal times resume.
Richmond, don't go ahead. Let me now bring in Samuel Amwa, who's the deputy PRO for the GPRTU. Samuel, welcome to the program. The government has intervened. They've reduced diesel by 2 Ghana cedis. Yesterday, we've been hearing some of the OMCs also reducing their prices. Still, the GPRTU is insisting that you're going to go ahead and increase fares. Why?
Yeah, thank you very much. Good evening to you, and then good evening to your panelists. Yes, what the problem is right now is the amount of money we use to buy the fuel right now. Yes, we appreciate what the government has done right now by taking these 2 Ghana cedis from the diesel. Had it not been that, and it means that we are going to buy diesel for almost 19 to 20 cedis. This afternoon, getting to this evening, I saw Star Oil, they went as high as 18 cedis, but as I was coming, I just saw that they are, reduced to 16 cedis. Yes, the reason why we're saying that it would be very difficult on our side is that, we stand in for drivers, and most of the time, we listen to the concern of the drivers, listen to the concern of the passengers, and that of the counters as well. So anything that happens, we put all these considerations together, then we find the best way to go about it, so that one side will not be, in a hardship, way. So right now that I'm talking to you, yes, all the drivers are complaining because this issue of 30% proposal increment, came in before the last price window, all right? And we all knew where the fuel price was. That was when we were complaining. And our argument is that, yes, we won't run away from the fact that government has done very, very well for that, or we commend government for that. But it's still hanging around where it calls for an increment. But yet, leadership is still meeting. Within the GPRTU, we have the National Executive Council that comprises all the 16 regional executives. If we say we want to, go strictly by the percentage threshold that we use before we go by, we will do increment. Like by this time, we should have increased long time. But we are all considering because of, that we are not in a normal time because of this, Middle East war.
So, Samuel, what will compel the GPRTU to rescind your decision? More intervention by government or a further drop in the prices of petroleum products?
All right, so as I'm speaking to you, the leadership, the national officers met today, and they are again going to engage the NEC, that is regional officers from all the other regions, to also put their heads together to see if there will be the possibility to still see if we can be able to, maintain what we are taking for now. All right, because the leadership cannot just take a decision just like that, looking at where we were and where we have gotten to. But if something may happen that we see more reduction, we appreciate that. But we don't even know what will happen at the next pricing window. Yes, I said earlier that we have seen reduction, on Star Oil. We have not seen that of Goil, Shell, and Total. We are yet to see that. So up to tomorrow, we'll again see then. The leadership will engage all the regional officers. Then we see the way forward. What we will do so that the drivers, will be at the safer side. The passengers too will also, be at the safer side, as well as, the cowardice.
Samuel Amua, thank you very much. The Deputy PRO for the Ghana Private Road Transport Union, GPRT. I still have Richmond Roxon with me. He speaks for the Energy Ministry. And I also have Kojo Poku on the line as well with me, and a host of other distinguished guests on the line. I'll come back to you, gentlemen, shortly. Richmond, Kojo Poku has raised a concern that the 1 cedi fuel levy should be scrapped. This is a perfect time for that levy to be scrapped. Is that on the table? Hello, Roxon.
Yes, all options are on the table. Yes. Can you hear me?
Please go on.
Yes, all options are on the table. Of course, His Excellency the President directed the Ministers for Energy as well as Minister for Finance to monitor. And so at every given time, if that is the ideal intervention, I'm sure that government will not hesitate to exercise that.
Okay. Well, there's another cause for concern that is coming from the Public Utilities Workers Union, PUU, who have criticized government for ignoring what they describe as their concerns they have raised while pressing ahead with plans to privatize the Electricity Company of Ghana and NETCO. And the union says that despite submitting a position paper opposing the privatization initiative, your ministry has not responded to its concerns, yet you have proceeded to appoint a transaction advisor to advance government's agenda. Is that the case?
The ministry, led by the minister himself, Honorable Dr. John Jinapo, has always engaged the leadership of TUC and then PUU as well. And at all times, his doors have been open. Indeed, if you ask them, they will tell you that if they call on the minister to meet him in the next 30 minutes, he will be available. And so it is not as if he's not been engaging them. He's been engaging since government made the decision to introduce PSP April 2025. So from April 2025 till today, at every point, the minister has engaged the stakeholders, including the workers. The appointment of a transactional advisor basically is to advise government. That's the work of a transactional advisor. And so government intends to roll out PSP. It has been engaging stakeholders. It has appointed a transactional advisor. The transactional advisor will now look at all factors to advise government on the way forward. Do it this way or do it that way. You have to do an evaluation of ECG's assets. It will be the transactional advisor who will do it. Whether or not it's even feasible is the transactional advisor that will advise government. And so I'm not sure that anyone should be up and arms with government because government has decided to get a transactional advisor who will look at what government wants to do and then give governments the appropriate advice. And so the government hasn't announced a concessionaire. It is not the transaction advisor who appoints or who suggests concessionaires to government. It is not a procurement process. It is the work of a transaction advisor. It's basically to advise on the transaction and in the way forward. Basically, that is it. So the government will continue to engage. The minister has reached out to them, and I'm sure the next few days you will have engagement. At all material point in time, every concern they've had, the government has responded to it. In fact, when the minister met them sometime in June 2025, they asked for 6 months till December to improve revenues. That was granted to them. After the 6 months, there was an analysis between both sides to look at what has been done so far, whether or not the revenue targets have been met. The reality is that there's a deficit in collection. There's a deficit in collection when it comes to ECG and NETCO. If you have a business where PURC says that you're supposed to bring you revenues of about 2.5 billion each month, and then you are doing averagely around 1.8, 1.92 billion sometimes, there's a deficit of about 500 to 600 million in a year. That is 7.2 billion cedis. The whole of 2024, under the cash waterfall mechanism, the payments that were made was just around 6 billion. And so if you have a deficit or you have arrears to such magnitude, as a government, you need to take steps to be able to deal with that. Indeed, revenue collection has improved under this administration. in some cases from 800, 900 million to the levels we are seeing today. But there's still room for improvement, and there are issues that has to be dealt with, especially when it comes to technical and commercial losses. And so we will continue to engage them. Nobody is fixated on bringing in the private sector. You want to see results. You want to improve the sector. Indeed, ECG and NEPCO, they are the pivot, or they are the backbone of the sector. If power is generated, if power is transmitted, and then power is supplied, distributed, and then the monies are unable to, we're unable to recover the monies, the sector will collapse. That is the honest truth.
Right. Richmond Roxon, thank you very much. He's the spokesperson and head of communication at the Energy Ministry. Kujo Poku is the co-chair of MPP's Energy Committee. Kujo, Richmond says all options are on the table, including your call for a scrapping of the Wangana City fuel levy. Does it make you happy?
Well, look, my brother, I'm surprised what Richmond said. I'm bringing politics. I only highlighted the fact that the politics was started by the NDC, and that is what is now choking them to try and do some of these interventions. It's a good thing that certain relief is given to customers, yes. But we were thinking that the Ministry of Finance will also give something away, because they brought the one city, and that should be considered. The bit where we keep using MPA to do this thing is creating a debt pileup at MPA. I want to add something small to this Puhu issue, if I may. Hello?
I'm here, sir. Briefly, please.
Okay. Yes, briefly. You see, look, Puhu should relax. I think the union should relax. The government has taken a transaction advisor. Everybody is in favor of a PSP. If they have concerns, they should write all their concerns down and also engage the transaction advisor, because that the transaction advisor, as the name suggests, transaction advisor. The Puhu, the union, should engage the transaction advisor and also enrich the work of the transaction advisor. So in the end, whatever the government decision or the advice government is giving will be to their benefit. For them to write a letter saying that they are against the process, I don't see why they are against it. Nobody is going to make them redundant. Nobody is going to sack them. Whatever decision and suggestions they have, they should engage the transaction advisor as well. So because, look, everybody wants to push this PSP to happen.
Right.
Like Richmond said, we can't have a utility that is collecting about 35% less than they should collect.
Right. Kujo Poku, thank you very much. He's the co-chair of the MPP Energy Committee, Dr. Riverson Opon. In 30 seconds, what should be the long-term approach by government with regards to intervention in the petroleum sector?
All right. Thank you. It will be difficult for any government in a regulated market to have a long-term. However, I would believe that knowing that the existing reforms that the government just pike up at a go affects systems, we believe that a long-term position will be reviewing the taxes and levies we have, making them operationally efficient and effective for the industry, and also putting caps on certain taxes that were added. I also allude to the fact that I had wished the 1CD that was added initially had been taken off. But, you know, that has to go through parliament and processes. I don't know much about that, but that's what MPU told me, that to take that 1CD off has to go back to parliament. That's why they cannot touch it. How true that is, I don't know, but this is what we have today. And we are still talking to MPA to make sure that right. We don't have the system failures. Thank you.
Thank you to Dr. Riverson Opon. He's the CEO of the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies. In 30 seconds, I still have Derek Zache on the line. He's a senior research and policy analyst. Derek, do you agree with Riverson's submission?
All right. Thanks once again. So one of the long-term measures definitely will just be the stability of the exchange rate. Aside all things, one thing that the government have control over is to guarantee that the cedi will be stable. If you compare the previous past, the dollar used to trade with the cedi around 17 Ghana cedis. Imagine if it were to be sold today, the consequence would have been very dire. And so for us to have a stable exchange rate so that no matter what even happens on the global scene, at least Ghanaians will be protected. That is one cushion that the government can give consumers. If the government is able to guarantee a stable exchange rate, It is a cushion to consumers. Now, the other one is that we are also lucky that today we have the Temaru refinery on board. We have other local refineries also coming on board. You can even have a reduction of price on the world market, but what if you don't have the fuels at the various pumps and coal? That will be another issue. So for NPA to also collaborate with Temaru refinery, that Ghana today can also refine its own petroleum products and coal. That is energy security. These are all long-term measures. I'm sure other things can be added.
Derek Sache, thank you very much. He's a senior research and policy analyst with the Institute for Energy Security. Earlier, we also heard from Kojo Poku, who is the co-chair of MPP's Energy Committee. Samuel Amwa is the deputy PRO for GPRTU. Dr. Riverson Opon is the CEO for the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies. Richmond Roxon is the spokesperson and head of communication at the Energy Ministry.